Welcome to the Victor Collins Asabre podcast. We pray the Holy Spirit will speak to you and stir you up as you listen to this anointed, transformative, and down-to-earth teaching by Bishop Collins. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Enjoy the message.
Heavenly Father, we'll never forget the cross, where it all began for us. We are who we are today because of the work on the cross. You have been working on us. You have been patient with us. As the greatest of all shepherds, you've been guiding us. You've been feeding us. You've been directing us. We go here and there. We go astray, but you bring us back into the fold. You give us a purpose. You give us a mission and a vision. Thank you for what today even means to the kingdom and even to us as a church. I pray you continue to speak to us. Continue to stress on the importance of a shepherd and his purpose in our lives. Let us not leave the service we came the same. Bless our hearts, bless our lives, bless our fellowship together. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody said amen. Give Jesus a big hand clap. You may please be seated. God bless you. Welcome to the Good Shepherd Church, where everything is good. Today is Sunday. It's also our lovely and dear Earl and it's Cherry. It's their wedding ceremony too. Amen. It's beautiful. And so, my task is two things. I'll do the Sunday service and then I'll do the wedding ceremony. You get it? So, not because it's wedding, so I shouldn't preach. Today is Sunday. And so I'm going to preach. And then when I satisfy, I don't eat, then we can usher Brother Earl and his sweetheart into the holy estate of matrimony. They've been waiting for a long time, and I think that they can wait this few minutes as well. Cherry told me it's been years. He said, Bishop, it has been so many years. I cannot wait. I asked Brother Earl this morning, how long has it been? He said, Bishop, I can't even count. It's too long. But I'm sure they can wait a few more minutes before the bowl is opened and a chow mein is eaten. Matthew chapter 9. You're welcome again. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. 36, 37, 38, and we'll take off from there. So if you're here visiting us for the first time, you're welcome. We love the Lord, and we hope you love the Lord too. Bible says that, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. He went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. I have to see, look probably because I don't know whether it's Cherry or somebody else. I can't see her. Where is Rachel or Leah? They have to unveil before you do everything. I can't even see her face. It's amazing. If you see her all around, now all of a sudden we can't see her face anymore. It's beautiful. Bible says in verse 36 of Matthew chapter 9 that, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And he says in verse 37, then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I'm just wondering why he will only speak to his disciples about this part. Can you see it? He said unto, not unto the congregation, but unto the very, very few understanding, teachable group of people. The Bible says it is that group that he mentioned to, that the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. It means that what I'm actually talking about is not everybody who is even supposed to hear it. It's precious. It's not for the masses. Because many people will hear the message about being a shepherd and they will frown on it or they will disrespect it. That is why the Bible says that Jesus only spoke to his disciples about the need of a shepherd because of the harvest. He said the harvest truly is plenteous because people also are concerned by other things than the harvest. So the Bible says he turned to the disciples and he said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers, the people who are supposed to reap the harvest, there are few. Then he says to them in verse 38, he says, this one, it needs prayer. This one needs prayer. I'm not sure about what you know in your life that needs prayer, but there are so many important things in your life that needs prayer, that you need to pray about them. Many Christians don't pray about anything unless it's food or it's money or it's land title. When it comes to decision making, when it comes to what to do with your life, many Christians don't pray about it. But God, Bible says that he's the one who rules in the affairs of men. And so you want God to rule in your affairs, than you just wishy-washy making any decisions and just going anyway. The Bible says, he said, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So based on this, I am preaching and I'm teaching on why we started talking about why you can become a shepherd. And I mentioned that you can become a shepherd because you've been in a church for too long. And when I say a shepherd, we are talking about somebody who can gather at least three people and preach to them every week. If you hear prophets say it today, we are even just joking. Every day you must have church. And if I am going to have church every day, what happened to you? You must also have church every day because I can't reach everybody. So you have to help me do churches all around. It takes an anointed pastor. It takes what? A disciples. And it takes what? A sacrifice. To have multiple services. And so you can become a small group leader. But because you've been around for a long time. What did you come to the church to do? Even when you go to school after a while, you graduate. You get a certificate. You become somebody. Hallelujah. And so you can't be in the church for long and not rise up and get a certificate and gather two or three people and preach to them and talk to them every week. Then we said that, you know what? Another reason why you need to become a shepherd, or you can become a shepherd, is what? It's because God, what? God gave us the fivefold ministry to work on us. We spoke about that, isn't it? Then I went to the point that why everybody can become a shepherd. You see, being a leader of two or three people around, talking to them about God, you'd be surprised how important it is. That's why Jesus only spoke to his disciples about that. It's not that we are reading the secret that he spoke to you. It's because his disciples are the ones who are writing. That's why they are making it known.
Otherwise, they would have kept it for themselves and would never have read anything about the harvest is truly plenteous and the laborers are few. Because he only told his disciples. But now we know, and we know because everybody here can become a small group leader. Those who argue with me in their minds, that is not for everybody. God is watching you. I never thought I would be a pastor. I was sitting down somewhere minding my own business. Never thought I would be a pastor.
Never thought so.
But you never say never. You never say never. I said you should be careful when you talk about pastors, because one day when you become a pastor, you face greater problems. You get bigger legs. Yeah, because you are not, you think that you will never be. You wait and see when God arrests you. None of us wanted to be who we are today. What we are doing is not by choice. It is a necessity that Apostle Paul says has been laid on me. It is necessary. It has become a necessity. If I had my way, I'll be in Europe. If I had my way, I would be in Europe, living my life comfortably. I don't come here for people to come and insult me. I don't need that. At least if I'm getting money and you're insulting me, at least it's okay. And it's euros. It's a guy in these dollars, isn't it?
So you can become a small group leader.
We started by saying that number one, all you need is what? A desire. Many people don't have a desire to be anything in a church. In fact, it is those people who talk about the pastors a lot. You sit in a church, you know everything, but you don't want to do anything. And it's those people who end up talking a lot about pastors. You take the microphone and see if anybody will even listen to you.
All you need is a desire. All you need is a desire. That's why when my pastor saw my desire, he said, you know what? You have to leave this country. Go to another country, because what you have, it is good for another place, not here. Here, the people will not.
Shauna says it's good for her.
It's good for somewhere else, because where you are living now, people will not appreciate what you have. So he told me, after living in Europe for 15 years, he said, go to Guyana. I said, all right. I don't know where Guyana is, but I'll try and find out.
Makai, I can see you. You better don't let me change my message and move you from where you are seated. Yeah?
And that's my story. And I'm glad I came, because we will see what we are seeing today.
Young brother, if I had not come, you will not be sitting down behind in the, you will not be sitting here. Probably you'll be going to give him lunch in jail, come street. Probably.
Cherry wouldn't be sitting here. We call her Cherry. She won't be sitting here. You see, so you should appreciate shepherds. Because the Bible says that it is the shepherd that comes. Jesus said something. He said that when he saw the people, they fainted. They were exhausted. They were saying, oh, I ain't able no more. Oh, I can't take this thing anymore. And Jesus said that situation he saw, the solution to that situation was the lack of a shepherd.
Let me tell you, I've been saying it over here for many, many years. And a few days ago, the Lord told me the same thing as I've been telling you. I've been saying here that nobody can pastor their own children.
You see, I am not a pastor. That's my son there. I'm not his pastor. I'm his father. I'm not his pastor.
That's why I moved Adon from the church. He said, to bring him here. Because his father can't pastor him. He can be a father to him, but not pastor him. Pastoring is a spiritual thing. Fathering, natural fathering, is biological. And the two are different. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So I've been sitting here for years, because sometimes when some of the parents hear how close their children are to us, the children tell us secrets and all of this. They say, you don't tell me nothing in this house. Everything is the bishop you telling. The people get vexed. But you see, that is how God has made it. It's not our fault. It's not our fault. I mean, one day, my daughter, my first daughter, who is not here, one day she had a secret. It's Karen she told the secret to. And it's Karen who came to do culture. I remember exactly. Karen was the one that my daughter used to talk to. Not me. Then she, because she loves me, she would come and tell me, he said, Reverend, please hear this thing now. Hear this thing. I said, oh, really? And then I'll act like I didn't hear anything, because if I go and flex my muscles, she'll say, oh, little Pastor Kyle, are you going to tell me business? You like talk. So as much as I don't like what she's talking about, I just, you know, you see, huff and puff. How do you say it? Huff and puff. And I just keep it quiet in my room, because if I manifest, the question is, how did I hear? Who told me? Then she will not tell anybody anything, and she'll be walking around with all her problems in a secret before she puts a rope around her neck and kill herself. They say, oh, the pastor's daughter has committed suicide. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So I've been saying it for years. And just a few days ago, the Lord told me the same thing. And he has given me a ministry for pastor's children. Oh, yes. I receive it in the name of Jesus. Because pastors can't pastor their children. Have you not heard pastors' children who are bad, bad, bad before? And you say, oh, how can a pastor's child behave like that? Because the pastor is a father to the child, not a pastor. John 3, do you have the scripture? John 3 and verse 6. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit a spirit. There's a difference between biological sonship and spiritual sonship. It's my father who bought a ticket for me to travel from Ghana to Europe to go to university. But it's my pastor who removed me from Europe, like he paid my ticket to Europe. And sent me not to Ghana, but to a different country. My father couldn't say anything when I told him I'm coming to Guyana. He couldn't say anything. He couldn't stop me, because it's my pastor who said I should come. And I came, because that which is born of the flesh is the flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is the spirit. What you see here, there's no biological father or mother who can do it. It is a spiritual thing. No matter how you look at it. And please don't be angry with me. I'm just preaching from the Bible. So I have two daughters. They are not here. They don't live here. Because if they live here, they will spoil. So I send them away for somebody to be a pastor over them for me. Whatever the person tells them, I believe it. I receive it. I trust it. Because I can't do it. I hope you understand what I'm saying. That is why Jesus said the laborers, the people who will take up such a responsibility, they are few. Because with all that we do, a lot of people are not happy with us. But if, you see, Brother Earl is about, what, 30-something years. He can't remember the last time he had sex. Long time ago. Brother Earl doesn't have any child mother anywhere. Oh, are you sure? I'm going to give you. If you know of any lawful impediment, why you, Elroy Clark, should not be joined together?
Lie detector.
Huh? Well, a lie detector. Let's put a lie detector. It's an uncle. Yes.
I'm telling you. It is, you see, Errol's father,
I mean, with all due respect, can't do that for Errol.
Our children, they do things behind our back.
Oh! Our children, they do things behind our back. Because they frighten we fathers and mothers. They know that if only we find out, they are dead. So they will never make it known to us. I remember when I used to pastor our church in Georgetown. There was a mother and daughter in the church. And I think the mother used to do something to the daughter at home. So the daughter pulled a fast one in the church. And I think the mother forgot that they were in the church. She took her shoes and she shied at the daughter inside the church. Then she realized that, we're in the church. Because she's used to doing that in the house. That's what we do to our children. We shy shoes at them. Yeah. Part spoon. And I've known Cherry for many years. She used to live in Trinidad. And then she came back to Guyana. And I've pastored her for years. I can tell you, there is no man who can appear here and say that Cherry is his sweet woman. I can tell you that. Even though she's not my biological daughter, I can tell you that. I am her shepherd. And I can testify. Because with all our things, when they see the pastor's face, they're a little afraid. I remember one young lady in the church who one day told me a story. She said she and a boy went to a room. They started hugging up and kissing up, and they were taking off their clothes. The young lady said, all of a sudden, she saw my face in the corner of the room. She put back her clothes and said, bye, I gone. May my face show up in the room, and you and the boy. She said she put back on her clothes and she left the place. Why didn't God show her father's face, or her mother's face, or her auntie's face, or her granny's face? I'm fighting the mother. No, I'm fighting. And I'm saying that Jesus says this type of person who brings people together and watch over them and gather them and talk to them and straighten them up. And Jesus, God needs a lot of those people. And I'm glad he chose me and he called me. I'm glad he called me. I'm very, very happy that he called me. I'm very, very happy about that. And I'm saying and I'm telling you that just as he called me, he has also called you and invited you too. All that you need is a desire. If only you will shift your desire from the things that are not permanent, the things that don't last, the things that will fade away, the things that don't satisfy. If only your desire can shift from it. Do you know what it takes? And I know many of you probably may not do it. That you live in America, and your pastor tells you, leave America, go to a poorer country than America, and go and start a church there. You leave the church. You abuse the pastor. How many will say something in their head, if you can't even say it to the pastor? You say in your head that, this man, he knows what's going on. Mela. Because I have come to America to prosper. And now you the pastor or the bishop, you are telling me that I should leave America and go to another poor country. But that's what happened to me. The pastor is the devil. That's what happened to me. I'm telling you my story. Because sometimes when people see me, they say, Guyana nice, eh? I say, you don't know what you're talking about. There are nicer things somewhere. But it's because of God. Lived there for 15 years, 15 years long. 15 years. Yeah, it's spread Netherlands. Natuurlijk. Then my pastor says, leave this place. Go to, we used to call, this is Guyana. We used to say Guyana. Go to Guyana. I said, where is Guyana? Even the name. Then I had to go on the internet. Can you believe it? That many years ago, 18 plus years ago, I didn't know where Guyana was. Yes. And I Googled it. And I saw, Guyana, South America, is close to Brazil. Hey, that place must be a prosperous place. Once it's close to Brazil, it must be a good place.
Then I came. When I got to the airport, I said, bye, cool down.
It was 18 years ago in 2005. It was a very small airport.
The next reason why everybody can become a leader of a small group is that it is a natural thing. You see, just as a child, a girl is born and grows up and gets to a certain age and begins to see what we call her monthly. That is how becoming a shepherd, becoming a leader of a small group is supposed to be. It's a natural thing. It's also very natural, unless there's some Masakura man in your house, in your family, to grow up and marry and have children. It's something. It's like, if it's not happening, everybody will be concerned about it. If you give birth to a child, and after 1 year, the child can't sit. The spine is not strong enough for the child to sit. If Ezekiel can't sit, hey, my phone will ring. Now, remember, he doesn't call me. My phone will ring. He said, Bishop, please pray for Ezekiel. Please prophesy over this little man of God here who has come into this world. He's 6 months, he's 1 year, but he can't sit. That's what I'm saying, that to be a leader of two or three people in the church and talk to them every Sunday, every Tuesday, every Sunday, every Tuesday, help them to read the Bible, help them to understand the Bible, pray with them, teach them how to pray. To do that, it is something that is natural. It comes with time, unless you are a very stiff-necked, stubborn, disobedient person. It comes naturally. It does come naturally. It does come naturally. But I want to tell you that God is looking for many people. And I'm looking for 100 small group leaders in this church. 100 I'm looking for. I'm looking for 100. I receive it and I'll get there by the grace of God. I'm looking for 100 people who take care of 5, take care of 4, take care of 10, take care of, Cherry is one of the most successful small group leaders around. When Cherry gathers people, she gathers them in their 20s. Some big people here, they gather only three. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I should go and see Cherry. See her meetings. Big. A lot of people. She has it. It is natural. It is natural. It is natural. That you grow in a church and you become somebody who loves the Lord, who loves his people, and that you are willing. You are willing to look after three or four people. That's all God is saying. You may have come to a wedding or you may have come to church this Sunday morning, but God wants you rather to rise up, develop the desire, and look after people in the church. He needs a lot of people to be looked after. You see, where I stand, there are so many people in a certain sense that you can't, it's not easy to know everybody, talk to everybody, give everybody satisfaction. But when we are a lot looking after a lot of people, it's easier. If you look after five people, you can never forget their names. You know where they live. I don't know where most of you live. Because I'm not Superman. I can't be everywhere at the same time. I'm not the Holy Ghost. So I need 100 people to look after the church. The reason why Jesus traveled everywhere in his world in those days was because he didn't have help. So he didn't have to preach for so long. 3 years he preached. Then the Father and him and the Holy Spirit decided, you know what? It is better to pull Jesus out and bring the Spirit. As for the Spirit, he can be everywhere at the same time. He can now come and motivate people so that wherever they are, they can. Because if you are going to leave Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and Bartholomew, and these people to preach in Jerusalem and go to Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost part of the world, we will die in our sins. So there is a need. Third point is there is a need for shepherds. There is a need for shepherds. You see how when you go to school, sometimes even the girls, not the boys even. I mean, boys are known for that, but sometimes you are a girl, you go to school, and you have about three or four friends that you are the gang leader of. I've had people like that in the church. I'm sure there are still people like that in the church. Yeah? When Movado and cartel time was on with this blue and red armband. I had people in the church who used to come to church with blue armband and red armband. They were either cartel or they were Movado. And I had one church member, a small girl from a school. I don't want to mention the name of the school. She was the Gaza queen of the school. Now, when you come into the church and you are saved and you are born again and you grow up, you want to tell me that you can't be a Holy Ghost queen in the church? But when you are not saved, when you are not born again, you are a Gaza queen. Now, when you come into the church now, you say, oh, Bishop, I'm not ready. Oh, come, let's baptize you. So, I'm ready for baptism. Everything, you are not ready. Everything, you are not ready. But when you are in the world, you're a gang leader. Some of you are ladies. You don't even have, your child father is not even helping you. You are the one taking care of two children. It tells of your ability and your strength to look after people. That is what God is looking for. God is looking for that. Hallelujah. And so, I want to end here so we can continue and Earl can.
He's been looking at the girl. It's because I'm an experienced pastor, so I am not under pressure. Otherwise, I'll close the service now and say, brother, please take your wife and be happy. He's been side-eyeing her. He's been side-eyeing her. He's been side-eyeing her. Oh, my God. I've never seen Brother L smile so much in his life than today. It's a beautiful thing. Amen. Let's stand, please.
For booking and more information on the ministry of Victor Collins, please call us on 592-691-5301 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. God richly bless you.